Hari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Giri Varadhari. Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Giri Varadhari. Yashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana. Jamuna Tira Vanachari. Jamuna Tira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Prabhupada. Gaur Premanande, Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita Ki Jai. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Hare Krishna, everybody. Good morning. Today we're going to be discussing from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, chapter 22, verses 106 to 109. And it has some very famous verses in these in these set of verses. So let me just quickly set myself up. And then Madhya Leela. So what we'll do is that we'll go through these initial two verses together, and then initial three verses together, and then the last verse we'll do the call and response to that.
Shravanadi kriyata swarupa lakshan tashtashta lakshane upajaye premadan.
The spiritual activities of hearing, chanting, remembering, and so forth are the natural characteristics of the devotional service. The marginal characteristic is that it awakens pure love for Krishna.
Nitya siddha Krishna prema sadhya kabhuna shravanadi shuddha chitte karaye udoy.
Pure love for Krishna is eternally established in the hearts of the living entities. It is not something to be gained from another source. When the heart is purified by hearing and chanting, this love naturally awakens.
Eta sadhana bhakti duita prakar, eka vaidhi bhakti raganuga bhakti ar.
There are two processes of practical devotional service. One is regulative devotional service, and the other is spontaneous devotional service. And this verse, we'll do it, call and response.
Raga hina jana bhaje shastrera agnyaya. Raga hina jane bhaje shastrera agnyaya. Vaidhi bhakti balitare sarva shastra gaya. Vaidhi bhakti balitare sarva shastre gaya. Raga hina jan bhaje shastre agnya. Ragahina shastra agnyaya. Vaidhi bhakti bale tare shastra ka. Ragahina agnyaya. Vaidhi bhakti bale tare sarva shastre gaya.
Raga hina, who are without spontaneous attachment to Krishna.
Jana,
persons.
Bhaje,
execute devotional service.
Shastre ragnyaya,
according to the principles and regulations described in the revealed scriptures.
Vaidhi bhakti,
regulative devotional service.
Bali,
calling.
Tare,
that.
Sarva shastre,
all revealed scriptures.
Gaya,
sing. Translation by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Those who have not attained the platform of spontaneous attachment in devotional service render devotional service under the guidance of a bona fide spiritual master according to the regulative principles mentioned in the revealed scriptures. According to the revealed scriptures, this kind of devotional service is called Vaidhi Bhakti. Purport. In the beginning, one has to hear from a bona fide spiritual master. This is favorable for advancing in devotional service. According to this process, one hears, chants, remembers, and engages in deity worship, acting under the directions of the spiritual master. These are the essential primary activities of devotional service. Devotional service must be executed for some material purpose. One should not even have a desire to merge into the absolute truth. One has to render such service out of love only. Ahaituki apratihata. Devotional service must be without ulterior motives. Then material conditions cannot check it. Gradually one can rise to the platform of spontaneous loving service. A child is sent to school by force to receive an education, but when he gets a little taste of education at an advanced age, he automatically participates and becomes a learned scholar. One cannot force a person to become a scholar, but sometimes force is used in the beginning. A child is forced to go to school and read and write according to the instructions of his teachers. Such is the difference between Vaidhi Bhakti and spontaneous Bhakti. Dormant love for Krishna exists in everyone's heart, and it simply has to be awakened by the regulative process of devotional service. One has to learn to use a typewriter by following the regulative principles of the typing book. One has to place his fingers on the keys in such a way and practice. But when one becomes adept, he can type swiftly, correctly, without even looking at the keys. Similarly, one has to follow the rules and regulations of devotional service as they are set down by the spiritual master. Then one can come to the point of spontaneous loving service. This love is already there within the heart of everyone. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema. Spontaneous service is not artificial. One simply has to come to that platform by rendering devotional service according to the regulative principles. Thus, one has to practice hearing and chanting and follow the other regulative principles by washing the temple, cleansing oneself, and rising early in the morning, attending Mangalarti, and so on. If one does not come to the platform of spontaneous service in the beginning, he must adopt regulative service according to the instructions of the spiritual master. The regulative service is called Vaidhi Bhakti.
Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militamina Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamsya Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangam Langate Girim Yat Kripata Mahamande Shri Gurum Dinatavina
Hare Krishna. So, we're in this chapter of chapter 22. As we know, we're staggered per week when we touch the CC. So, a quick brief orientation where we are. Mahaprabhu speaking with Sanatana Goswami. And it's a two-month conversation, which I always found fascinating, how you can just be there with the Lord for 2 months, one-on-one, discussing. It's quite amazing. And it's also quite special to think of it as Mahaprabhu came and never actually wrote down anything for us other than the Shikshashtakam. So he left it for the Goswamis. So these 2 months and the couple weeks with Rupa Goswami is all that they gathered, and of course other things as well, that they really brought it together to write it in the books that we have on bhakti right now, like the Nectar of Devotion, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, and other such literature. So it's quite amazing to see where the source of all these books are coming from. It's coming straight from the Lord. And we sing this verse, Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam, Stapitam Yena Bhutale. It's glorifying Rupa Goswami and the Goswamis that Sri Chaitanya Mano Abhishta, they know the mind of Lord Chaitanya. And hence, they're able to write all these books on bhakti. And I personally found this topic a little as a blessing for me to, I guess, talk about today with all of your blessings and for my purification. But I found it a blessing as, you know, just currently with work and trying to keep up with my sadhana. You kind of have this mentality that am I leaning into more of a karma mishra bhakti, like not really focusing purely on bhakti. But then when verses like these and chapters like these and sections like these where they talk about the definitions of pure bhakti, you know, talking about just in the last section, verse 105, we talked about the definition of sadhana bhakti that was mentioned over there, that Rupa Goswami uses in the Nectar of Devotion, in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. But I find it a blessing that I'm able to focus on these pure definitions when I'm finding myself in this kind of, parallel world where I'm kind of trying to find a focal point. So I'm grateful for receiving these verses to talk about and churn for myself. So so we see over here, it says, Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sadhya Kabunoy Shravanadi Shuddhi Chite Kare Udoy. It says that pure love for Krishna is established in the hearts of every living entity. It is not something to be gained from another source. So this concept of bhakti is groundbreaking for the material world. The nature of bhakti over here, it says, sadhya kabunoy. You cannot attain it. It's already there in your heart. You can't attain something. This idea of attaining something is a very materialistic perspective of I do my effort and I will achieve something. Whereas bhakti is something that's already there and we just have to uncover it and understand who we are and know what our potential is, as mentioned in the verse prior to this, talking about how I'll just read that verse actually. It's Kriti Sadhya Bhavet Sadhya Bhavasa Sadhana Bida Nitya Siddhasya Bhavasya Prakrityam Hriddhi Sadhyata. When the transcendental devotional service by which love for Krishna is attained is executed by the senses, it is called sadhana bhakti, or the regulative discharge of devotional service. Such devotional eternally exists within the heart of every living entity. The awakening of this eternal devotion is the potentiality of devotional service in practice. That potentiality is something that we're trying to uncover. Last week, Mother Malini, while she was speaking, she shared a very interesting analogy to understand this. She was talking about how children who, unfortunately, in feral circumstances, who don't have parents to raise them, when they are placed in a forest, when they're walking around, they have the potential as humans to walk on two feet, but unfortunately they don't have that guidance and training. So they are trained by the animals around them and they learn to walk like the animals. So that potentiality is never brought to them as humans to walk on two feet. So similarly for us, it's very important that we associate with the right persons, with the right people, for us to actually realize that potentiality we have. It's association. And also, what the next verse says, it also says, Shravanadi Shuddhi Chitte. It's Shravanadi. So it's all the list of all the sadhana bhakti, the 64 angas of sadhana bhakti. If we practice those, 64 angas, then naturally that potentiality will be realized. We're in that association. We're in that right environment, controlled environment, to actually realize that potentiality. So, this point of sadhya kabunai, just coming back to that, I also found that quite special. In this material world, we see that we can boil it down into the four Purusha Arthas, whatever we do in this material world: dharma, artha, kama, and moksha. So these four Purusharthas, if you really analyze and focus on them, you can see that each one of them has a very transactional nature. It has a very transactional nature where you do dharma for reaping some good benefits, right? You do some, pious work, good. In the most basic concept, going to the temple to, get blessings of the Lord and doing good, doing dharmic activities so that we can get some material benefit. Then you do artha. Naturally, artha by its own definition means that artha, you're doing it for the money so that you can enjoy, right? So that is artha. And kama, what's the point of kama? It's enjoyment. Why do we try to have a relation in material relationships? Why are we trying to have a relationship with another? At the core principle of it, we are actually having that relationship with someone to enjoy for ourselves in a material concept. So dharma, artha, kama, and then moksha. Moksha is also very transactional in nature. It is talking about doing certain activities so that I can be liberated. We're expecting a result from that. We're looking for that result. Let me do these set of activities, which is listed in our shastras, like, we have yam, niyama, pranayama, and all the eight limbs of ashtanga that can lead us to that moksha. So it's very transactional in nature, again. So sometimes we can even see it in bhakti, we can also, we hear the verses of, in the Bhakti Samritsan, the Bhakti Mukti Spriha Yavat, Pishachi Hridi Vartate, Tavat Bhakti Sukhas Yatra, Katham Abhyuddayo Bhavet. That as long as the desires of bhakti and mukti, material pleasures and liberation, have the grips over the hearts of a sadhaka, how can true happiness of bhakti ever be make an appearance there? So that is telling us that bhakti in its nature is not transactional. It is, the idea is selfless service. The whole premise of bhakti is selfless service. And also, bhakti, in one sense, resides in our heart, and it is also awakened in our hearts by the mercy of Krishna, and his specifically through Krishna's sadhu, the sadhus who are serving Krishna. So we can't put in, the only effort we can do is showing up to our services. That's the only effort we can do, and the rest is fully up to Krishna. We have the analogy of how there are two ways of perceiving this. One is through the logic of the monkey, or the logic of the tiger. So the monkey, the baby monkey, is clinging on to the mother, running around, walking around, jumping around. And the baby monkey has to hold on to that, onto the mother to stay in the, safe. Whereas the tiger cub is very relaxed and, forgive my vernacular, chilling around, where the tiger comes and grabs the neck, the mother tiger comes, grabs the neck, and carries it around. So that's the that's the balance we kind of have to see in our bhakti, that we need to cling on to our services, we need to cling on to our sadhana, and the rest of it is Krishna carrying us around, awakening that bhakti within us. Bhakti is self-manifesting. It is not transactional in that aspect. We can show up to it, and then by showing up to it, purification happens in our heart, and then Krishna reveals that bhakti. So that transactional nature is just not there. I recently, maybe 6 months ago, finished my training for being a pilot. And it was a very intensive training for almost 2.5 years. One and a half year. And you can see you need to put a certain effort. And when you put that effort, you know that you're going to receive this. You're going to receive this license or this, you know, certification, and you're going to put that effort and put the grind, as they say these days, put the grind and study, practice, and being a pilot is not only like the theory of it, but then there's the skill of it, of actually, you know, knowing the stick and rudder skill, so developing that practice so that it's muscle memory and all of that. It takes a lot of like focus and attention, and the reason you're putting that focus and attention is so that you can get that transaction back to get the certificates so that I can work, so that I can do that in the future. But bhakti, by its nature, is very, you know, it's already there in the heart, and it's also just very dependent on the mercy of Krishna. And that's our position of calling out to Krishna and hoping for that mercy. Because it's a personal relationship. It's not impersonal, where you do something and you just get a reaction to that action. Whereas over here, it's a relationship with Krishna. It's a relationship with Krishna's devotees. And that's how we actually develop bhakti, through that relationship. And now we can go into it, where it's now going into talking about the different kinds of bhakti. So there's, as we were talking about, sadhana bhakti, right? So sadhana bhakti, as we understand, is that we don't have that natural love for Krishna manifesting in us right now. So what is given to us? We're given a process on how to get that coming about in our heart. So that is given to us as sadhana bhakti. And the definition of sadhana bhakti, as it was said, krite sadhya bhavet sadhya. Krite sadhya means doing activities using our senses. By doing those activities, we're hoping to develop that bhava within our heart. By doing that activities, developing and realizing that potential of bhava within our heart. So that's what we're doing as sadhakas. We don't have natural manifestation of love to Krishna. We really have to put the effort. I remember when I was in the ashram, I remember in the mornings, every day going for Mangal Arati and dancing in kirtan. Sometimes it's, as a young person, I remember, I used to always tell myself, I don't have any reason not to dance in the kirtan, you know? Who am I not to dance in the kirtan? I used to tell that to myself, I remember once seeing a video of devotees in Chopati dancing at a Guru Puja Kirtan. Many of the brahmacharis are very stalwart, materially speaking, over there. And in my head, I was thinking, and I was watching the videos, and they were dancing like maniacs. You know, in my head, I was thinking these people could have done anything in their lives. And they're dancing like maniacs in front of Prabhupada, you know? So who am I not to dance for Krishna, you know? So I remember while I was in the ashram, I remember many times you wake up, you're doing attending Mangal Arati every day and attending the morning program every day, and you're just like, okay, we're doing this every day regularly. But you're getting frustrated, today I'm not feeling, I don't want to dance, or I don't want to, obviously I don't want to dance or anything like that. I just want to stand there, which is also fine, absorbing your mind in Krishna. But I always reminded myself that dancing is one of in the list of activities of sadhana bhakti. Dancing is one of the listed items. So I was like, this is a sadhana bhakti. I do not have that natural manifestation of dancing for Krishna right now, but I know it's a sadhana. I need to do it. I need to dance right now for the Lord. And by doing this activity, I will receive that, hopefully by Krishna's mercy. But right now, I just need to dance. So I remember having that rationalization every time I would just stand there. So it's a sadhana bhakti, just like that. So that's the list of what we need to do. It's the list of activities given to us, the 64 angas of bhakti. There's beautiful explanations of how it's segmented. There's like the doorway, the initial doorway, angas of bhakti, of taking shelter for guru, you know, taking initiation and serving the guru. Those are like amongst the doorway angas. You could call it like the doorknob, in a sense, taking shelter of the guru, those three. And then afterwards, there's further 40 or so. And then finally, there's the five primary ones in the end. And the five primary ones are, as we know, they are Bhagwat Shravan, hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam, Mathura Vas, living in Mathura, residing and visiting the holy dham, Sadhu Sangha, serving, associating with the Vaishnavas, Harinam, Ruchi, you know, chanting the holy names, and someone could help me with the fifth one. Worshipping the deities, thank you. So that's the fifth one. I need to do more of that so that it's in my mind. So those are the five angas. Those are the five prominent of... those are the five angas of... prominent angas of bhakti that are prescribed to us. And the reason it's prescribed to us is that everyone has rule books. So if you look at the Nectar of Devotion, Nectar of Devotion defines to us what Vaidhi Bhakti is. The actual verse given to us by Rupa Goswami is Yatra Raga Vipatatvat Pravritir Upajayate Shasa Ne Naiva Shastrasya Sa Vaidhi Bhakti Uchate. So it's talking that, so by the teachings of the scriptures, you know, when you practice bhakti, the Shastra is giving a rule book for what we need to do to achieve, you know, a certain goal, right? So, it's a very, English is such a weak language. I was just talking about we can't achieve bhakti, but, you know, to make the point, it's such a weak language where Sanskrit, I wish we all knew Sanskrit, I could speak Sanskrit and we'd be so fully into it. But the point being that by doing the actions of bhakti, of Vaidhi bhakti, which are defined to us by the scriptures, that is what gives us, you know, that revelation within our heart. So the idea is that Shastra, it says Shasa Naineva Shastrasya. So Shasa Naina means to govern, in the idea of governing something. So Shastra also means, the Shastra means to weapon, to enforce something. So all these words are there to show that there's this governing principle in our day-to-day activities. And Shastra gives us that governing principle on how to execute day-to-day activities using our senses. Everybody has a certain rule book in life. You go on Instagram, and when you open Instagram and you see all these people talking about motivation or things that you need to do, they're creating their own rule books, basically. They're creating their own rules that they need to be following, and so to achieve a certain goal. And so for us, if we want to focus on bhakti, how do we know what is our rule book? It's not whimsical. We're not, you know, creating it in our own mind. It needs to be given to us as to how do we achieve something that is like bhakti. And that is what Shastra gives us. It gives us a whole set of activities for us to do. And that's what Vaidhi Bhakti is. And then if you go deeper, that next verse after Nitya Siddhe says, Eta Sadhana Bhakti Duita Prakar Eka Vaidhi Bhakti Raga Noga Bhakti Ar. That there are two types of sadhana bhakti. So there's practicing of bhakti, which is the general definition of engaging our senses to develop that bhava within us. And within that, there's two segments. One is Vaidhi Bhakti, and the other one is Raganuga Bhakti. And they all fall under the umbrella of sadhana bhakti. And sadhana bhakti is us realizing that we don't have that bhava or that love for Krishna, and we need to manifest it by doing the external activities. And so what is the difference in these two perspectives? And that's what Prabhupada touches upon in that purport in the next verse that we just read. Prabhupada's talking about how he gives beautiful analogies of a child learning in school, not wanting to go. Like, for me, I could say I was a child not wanting to dance. But in my head, and then what I was told was that, hey, you should dance, you know? Dancing is one. Chanting japa is another example, for example. Another example where you don't want to chant, but you chant because it is told to you by your guru. It's prescribed to you by your guru, just like the child not wanting to read and write. So that's the driving force of a Vaidhi sadhana bhakta, where the driving force is that they know that they, you know, they need to achieve a goal, but the driving force is a sense of just having that fear of not following the instructions of Shastra and Guru. That's the driving force of doing Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti. And through development of that, naturally, the child wants to become a learned scholar just by his association, by being with other, you know, academics and other things. They want to become a learned scholar. And at that point, they're doing the practice and the study, but on their own accord. They don't need that stick behind them, you know, that you need to read and write right now. So similarly, as sadhaka bhaktas, when Krishna, again, bhakti, that mercy comes through the devotees. So by being around devotees who naturally have so much love for Krishna, who have that raga, right? Who have that raga, then we can become raga anuga, following those devotees who have raga. And by following them, we can do our practice with a certain mentality of greed, of like, I want that mentality that the devotee has for their love for Krishna. I don't have that right now. So Krishna, please, please, that's our mentality when we're chanting, when we're dancing. We know that we don't have the bhava, but we're praying to Krishna that I want that mentality. And that's a natural enthusiasm within and eagerness within the devotee that comes by being in the association of other enlivened, enthusiastic devotees. And so, he's still doing his practice at that point of chanting. And so that's where sometimes the confusion comes of that Raganuga Bhakti needs to be done. It is, you're doing the same activities as Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti that is prescribed to you in the Shastras, but the only difference is the inspiration behind doing those activities changes. The inspiration in Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti is that fear, or that, you know, fear that I need to be just following Shastra and Guru, versus in Raganuga Bhakti, it's sort of a mentality of taking the initiative of, oh no, I want to achieve this love for Krishna. I want to be in the association of these devotees who have love for Krishna. And by being in their association, you know, I can hopefully come to me, and that sun of bhakti can rise within my heart fully. So the sun is always there again. Sun is always there, but we want it to rise within our heart. That's what we're trying to. And it only rise. The only reason we can see the sun is by the mercy of the sun. So the only reason bhakti can rise in the heart is by the mercy of the bhaktas and Bhakti Devi herself. So that's what we can see in this, I guess, analysis of Uttama Bhakti in this. And one thing that I really liked in this was that Prabhupada's movement, in our movement, ISKCON, Prabhupada never wanted us to just be stuck on that, you know, just that fear that I just need to do my sadhana, I just need to follow this. But yes, we do that, but then we also carry it forward where it's more, natural, intrinsic, where we have the initiative, we have the, we have that desire to have that understanding of who am I with Krishna. And I remember I once heard a point that bhakti should be like ISV. So he was making a joke that ISKCON Silicon Valley. But ISV also means it needs to be inspired, it needs to be spontaneous, and needs to be voluntary. You know, ISV. And also spontaneous, what do we mean by spontaneous? Spontaneous just means, it's not whimsical, as we think of the word generally. Spontaneous actually means natural. So for a young boy, when a beautiful girl walks by, he spontaneously, naturally looks at the beautiful girl. So for us, we're hoping that our bhakti can become spontaneous, where when Krishna walks by, we naturally walk, or Krishna's devotees or the Harinam party walks by, we naturally want to, our attention gets attracted over there. So that's what we mean by spontaneous in this situation. And Prabhupada really wanted us to come to that point. He wanted us to grow beyond just the Vaidhi mentality to that Raganuga mentality within the Sadhana Bhakti umbrella. And there's a beautiful verse that Prabhupada states that verse was his inspiration of use in our title of ISKCON, International Society for Krishna Consciousness. The Krishna consciousness, he was inspired to use Krishna consciousness from this verse. Specifically, it says, it's from the CC again. It's in Madhya Lila 8, verse 70. It says, Krishna bhakti rasa bhavita mati kriyatam yadi kutopi labhyate tata laulyam api mulyam ekalam janma koti sukritair na labhyate. Pure devotional service in Krishna consciousness cannot be had even by pious activity in hundreds and thousands of lives. It can be attained only by paying one price, that is, intense greed to obtain it. If it is available somewhere, one must purchase it without delay. So Prabhupada says that he coined ISKCON, the Krishna conscious bit. Inspiration comes from this verse, and this verse talks about that greed that we need to have in bhakti. And what does greed mean? Greed means is that, again, that initiative, us wanting bhakti, us wanting, when we observe other devotees who have that love for Krishna, that greed to be in their to agree to have that within us. And again, it's up to Krishna to, by his mercy, that it comes manifest in the heart. But for on our end, it's that greed that we can develop while we do our sadhana, while we are doing those external activities, to have that mentality within us. So I'll leave it over there for questions, discussions, corrections. It's a very deep topic, and I'm very neophyte to this topic, so I need it. All the discussion.
I just want to tell you some experience I had in Mumbai and in the 80s in the temple. There is one of our devotees over there that was blind from birth. And I always thought that, that we dance the Swami step, because everybody does, because we just imitate others. But this was a true revelation to me, that the soul is pure and it's just covered, because that devotee never saw anyone. Mm. And he was doing the Swami
step. Wow. That's incredible.
Thank you, Ananta Balaba, for your enthusiasm in presenting all of this. So what would you say to encourage someone who has reduced their japa or has stopped it because they don't have a taste?
Someone has reduced their japa because they don't have their taste. I would personally, it all stems from association. Who are you associating with? And it only the taste naturally comes based on your association with the devotees. Association devotees is key at every step in our journey of bhakti. From the very beginning, we have the verse about association with Satam Prasangam Mamavirya Samvido, that just by being in the association of devotee, we can develop that taste. When we are growing in bhakti, I really like this verse in the 11th canto. It says, Parasparanu Katanam Pavanam Bhagavad Yasha Mitoratir Mitas Tustir Nivrata Mita Atmana. But it talks about just by being in association of devotees. I like in the purport, it says over there that one devotee looks at another devotee and says, oh, you have given up material material activities? From today onwards, I will give up those material activities. And it's just that inspiration while we're in that sadhana. And then finally, we have machitta madgata prana bodhayanta parasparam. You know, those who are pure devotees, what are they doing? They're just associating as well. They're coming together. Machita Madgatana Prana Bodhayanta Parasparam. They're coming together and discussing Krishna with each other. So it's about association. And also the growth in that association. So if someone who has lost taste, but they realize they've lost the taste and they want to deepen that taste, at that point it's key quite externally, like developing that kind of association. It's not only devotee association, it's also the association that we see, you know, the things that we're seeing regularly, you know, what videos we're watching on YouTube, what things we're discussing, you know, that's also another element of association. So that's how taste can develop, and that's how that inspiration, because we all decided to do like 16 rounds, all of us, we did it out of inspiration. And eventually, we've kept up with it when we're not inspired, but we all took it up with inspiration. We were never told to do 16 rounds, so and that doesn't last if it was told to us. So just trying to realize what made us inspired then, what can I do right now to regain that inspiration? Yes.
Hare Krishna. Yeah, thank you, first of all, for your nice class. In regards to this point of losing taste, what I usually also like to recommend to people is that they take a certain number of rounds and chant them really with undivided focus and attention, mm-hmm. really mindfully turning to Krishna, helplessly calling out to him. This is how we should chant, mm-hmm. because very often we lose the taste because all we know is inattentive chanting. And when we give ourselves a chance to experience the difference between attentive chanting and inattentive chanting, then we naturally get a taste and we will want to increase the numbers of good chanting and we become actually disgusted with these rounds where we are just trying to somehow get them done, you know, and we walk around and just blabber something down, you know, on the counter or something. Mm-hmm. So we lose the taste for this kind of chanting. We get disgusted with these rounds. Mm. And that's how we can work our way out of the swamp of inattentive chanting.
Right.
Yes. Very practical tip.
I found that special as well. I remember attending a seminar on the Holy Name with Sachi Nandan Maharaj at New Vrindavan. And I remember after, like, in the end of the program, Maharaj was telling how you can carry this on beyond the retreat. And I was thinking to myself, how can I practically do this? At least we had to write affirmations on how to actually carry it out later on. And I was thinking, just as you were sharing, that I'm somehow Krishna's mercy circumstantially. I'm able to do the 16 rounds in a very mechanical way, but somehow keeping up with it. But I'm not satisfied by that. So at least in that 16, can I fit in one round, you know, with that, whatever I learned in that retreat. So
yes, thank you. And then gradually we will increase.
Yeah.
We will want to increase that number of really good, attentive, and prayerful rounds. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Thank you so much,
Alex.
I really enjoyed your class. The verses that Prabhupada spoke, the translations alone, evoked emotion to call out to Krishna. Mm-hmm. And then I was thinking about when you were talking about Tarzan, basically. Then you have behind you Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The animals opposite. They were learning from Mahaprabhu instead of the child learning from the animals. That's just funny. So lovely. And I definitely had this feeling when you were speaking about greed the first time. Just the whole room kind of changed for my eyes. And I felt like, yes, I need to be greedy for Krishna, for Radhe Shyam, for Krishna Balaram, for Shishi Gornitai. So thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you so much, everybody, for coming. Shishi Chaitanya Charitamrita Ki. Jai.